and then I will pray. She's going to tell us more, so I'm just going to tell quick. Okay, so Priscilla is a storyteller, speaker, prayer minister, Bible study teacher, and missionary. She's passionate about creating moments for people to encounter the living God through prayer in various settings, at conferences, teaching Bible studies, and through teaching in competitive sports. So she's got two groups, right? She's got her older bunch, her son, 17-year-old Jalen, her 20-year-old nephew, Samisi, and her 17-year-old brother, Jaden, who are the joys of her life. Then she also has her husband, Jeff, that she lives with in South Reading, and a younger bunch, Chloe, who's Chloe, right? Uh-huh. 2.5, and Zoe, who's 4. So can y'all imagine, like, 17s and 20s, and then 2 and 4, like, bless you. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to pray for Priscilla, and we'll get started. Oh, also, there's handouts on here. It's kind of like a follow-along sheet. If you're a note taker, you're going to love this. And Mentor Moms, the discussion questions are the 3 on the bottom for when we're done. We'll remind you. All right, come on over. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again just for this morning. There's nothing like hearing your word in song, and I'm just excited to have that moment to set and get ready to listen. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with Priscilla as she speaks, Lord, that you would equip her and you would give her wisdom in what to say and what not to say, Lord, and that our hearts would be willing to hear what you have for us and that alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Who wants to give Jesus some praise? Come on. Like Joey did it. He synced us. Our hearts are so aligned because I was in Psalm 100 where the Lord talks about entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. When we come to him in thanksgiving. And then in that song, I'm just going to demonstrate a little bit about how the Lord was speaking to me. You guys are moms, right? So I have been teaching my children like the ABCs of God. A, you are accepted. B, you are beautiful. C, you are chosen. D, you're delighted in, right? And so my baby girl came to me 3 times this week, grabbed my face and said, Mommy, you are so chosen. And I just, you know, but this morning on the way here, it's in the song that we just sang that we are chosen. But on the way over, the Lord was showing me like, I'm speaking to you through your baby out of the mouth of babes. Like she said to me, you are chosen. You are delighted in. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you that you love us so deeply, so intimately. In fact, this year, the verse that has just been on my heart all year has been Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will tell you great and mysterious things that you do not know, things that you do not understand. Okay, we can know the thoughts of God. And there's scripture to support that today that we'll walk through. But God, thank you that you want to talk to us so intimately. You want to speak chosen. I'm reminded of a time I was in the mirror. I just asked the Lord one day. I wasn't upset about anything. I just said, Lord, you know, what do you want to tell me today? And he said, worthy. You are of worth to me. And I just broke. I was like crying profusely because I didn't know that I really didn't feel like anybody valued me in that season. I'm sure some of you can relate, right? We may not have the same traumatic story. Okay, I'm going to share with you a little bit about my testimony. We may have not walked through some of the same struggles, but at the end of the day, we do all experience sorrow, feeling loneliness, unseen, not treasured, right? The Lord is so in pursuit of speaking to us personally that you are my beloved. I do see you. I do treasure you. I care about the small and the big things and everything in between. And so, Lord, we give you our time today, our thanksgiving, our praise. I thank you for Joey's heart to just pour out her heart in song before you. That's what David did. That's what we should be doing. In our homes, in our kids' rooms, throughout the day, Lord, I sing to you, and he sings over us. Amen? It's such a privilege to be here, guys. I never pass up an opportunity to share what God has done in my life. He has radically rescued me. And I will tell you that it's not just a moment of salvation. It is an everyday saving that he does. Amen? Because we have to choose to kill our flesh and walk by the Spirit. Every day I have to choose you, Jesus. It's not a one-time thing. He is saving you every day, and all of us can see the condition of the world right now. We're in the evil days. There are things constantly pulling us away. You're constantly hearing other voices. You're constantly hearing things, right? If I gave you a pie chart, maybe 12% of that sliver is what you hear from the Lord. Maybe 50% of that is from the enemy, and 50% of that pie is from you. I want you to think about that, that there are multiple voices. In your handout today, I referenced two specifically because we want to be able to discern the voice of God. God, what do you have to say about me? What do you have to say about my story? How many, show of hands, how many love a great story? Yeah. I mean, I really think that's why Jesus spoke in parables. We can understand story. We can relate to story. We can see ourselves in this story. We can see him in the story, right? And this is the greatest story ever told. This Bible, right? Our Bible. We see each one of us in the stories as a part of a bigger story, a larger tapestry than our own story. What am I getting at? You know, one day the Lord said, Priscilla, stop sharing half your story. It's my story. You don't get to hide it. It's my story, God says. You're woven into a fuller story, right? The greatest story ever lived and ever told. The scripture is God's love letter to us, and it's active and alive, and our stories are a part of it. And as you read it, your heart is sweetly convicted, right? Where the Holy Spirit is just nudging you away from how you used to live to how he wants us to live. Amen. In a sweet way, not a condemning way, not a shaming way. That's the voice of the enemy. The Lord comes gentle. How many can agree that you can tell the difference, right? You can tell the difference, a sweet whisper from your father versus the accuser of the brethren. Who is that? The father of lies, Satan, comes to see how he can present you in the king's courts. Look what she did. Look what she did. I have a right to her. But the cross. Hallelujah. But Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. You can't make a sacrifice big enough to get right. We are not trying to become good Christians. Jesus did not come to set our bad behavior to good behavior. And I know you can relate to this. If anybody has tried to work in their flesh, right? I'm going to go to the gym on January 1 and I'm going to practice self-control and I'm going to eat well all year. And how long does that last? Because that's in your flesh. But when Jesus does it, amen, right? On the topic of hearing God, when your friend encourages you, because some of us have the gift of encouragement, no doubt. You have the gift of encouragement. My friends encourage me. Praise God. It feels good for a time. But then I go back home and the depression is there. The sorrow is there. It only lingers for a minute. Why? Because you need to hear the voice of your father. When he speaks, we know this in Genesis. He speaks, he creates. Let there be light. And there was light, right? So when he says, daughter, I'm gonna lose it already. When he says, daughter, that is sealed on your heart forever. It impacts you in a different way, right? But there are things that keep us from hearing the Lord. And so we're going to talk through some of those things today. Before I get to that, I do want to tell you a story about a little boy. A young boy who had rough beginnings. Mom was a heavy drug addict. Dad was never present. The enemy distorted and whispered lies of hate and abandonment early in his life. One day, the drug dealers came to collect on a debt she couldn't pay. And so her dealers almost took her son's life, but he escaped. And so this little boy's journey begins. He was introduced to isolation, anger, rage, a deepened loss of self-worth, and the false reality of orphanhood. He learned very quickly to downshift from innocence to survival, and so he became entangled with the darkness of the alleys and the street corners. It wasn't that many years later that he would lay his eyes on a young girl who was kind, pure, and easily charmed. He was determined to lay with her, and he calculated his every move around her to win her heart. I was that girl. I was that girl. He lured me in with his smile and his humor. I was drawn to his confidence and constant pursuit of me. He whispered in my ear for 5 years, before I said yes. But my yes suppressed the gentle whisper of my God who said, do not move in with him. You're not married to him. Ladies, I wasn't churched at this point. I didn't even know Jesus, but I heard the living God. Okay, I heard the living God say, don't do it. You're not married to him. I didn't know what ignoring God's whisper looked like. I didn't know the lies upon which this man built his life. About 2 years into our relationship, one beer turned to five to 10, then to liquor, then he was on to drugs. He turned to the alleys and the street corners that he was familiar with as a child. And so one day he kicks the door in and he says, I need $400 of our rent money. Otherwise, these drug dealers are going to come and kill me. And I said, no. I've taken you from rehab to rehab. I've taken you from family member to family member. And still you refuse to get healed. No, I'm not giving it to you. And so he flipped the dresser, he flipped the bed, and then he flipped me, and he was on top of me, choking me, straddling me. And he was so strong, I couldn't get him off me. And the only thing I could think to say was, you know me, you know me. And when our eyes connected, I could see this darkness leave his eyes, and he let go. It was in this moment, this seeing his blackened eyes and whatever it was in him flee, I knew that God saved us both that day, both of us. And so the Lord found me in this very desolate place. I was very sick, ladies. I was drinking myself to death, throwing up in the tub, begging God to save me, and then drinking again, and throwing up in the tub and begging God to save me, and doing it again. Until one night, hear me, ladies, the power of invitation, okay? One person invited me to church in fourth grade. One person, please invite your friends. I thought about this place, and I thought to myself, okay, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't listen. I'm sorry I ignored your whisper. I need a fresh start. I need to get away from this man. If you give me a fresh start, I give you my life. I give you my life, Jesus. And then I said what I will call the dangerous prayer, just so you know. I don't care how you do it. That's what I said. Okay, be careful, ladies, what you say to the Lord. Just give me a fresh start. I don't care how you do it. All right? So within 2 weeks, my house was on fire. I lost everything I own at the age of 26. I was almost sued $160,000 at the age of 26. My parents worked 3 jobs each. There's absolutely no way they could have saved me from that. It's like the Lord is a consuming fire. He burnt up this bed of sin that I was sleeping on. You hear me? Because he knew in my flesh, I couldn't leave this man. I would feel sorry for him and take him back for the 18th time, whatever. And so the Lord removed the platform which we lived. I had no choice. I had to go back home. The fire marshals came to me and said, put him on the stand. And I said, I started to think to myself, no, this is my chance. Like, I don't want to fight in court for a year. I don't care. I'm going to take the losses. The Lord is going to help me. I know it. This heavenly thought came over my mind. Okay. And here we go. Hearing God. It's an external thought that came to me. Maybe those people at church can help me. That one church I went to that one day, many, many years ago. And so I started to camp out in this place. And so my friends were like, how are you so happy? You lost everything you've ever owned. I'm like, I'm the freest I've ever been. I'm rich in spirit because I know my God heard me. Amen. When has faith become real for you? It is the full assurance in the heart that you know that you know that you know, right? This is why faith is so beautiful. There is certainty in it. There's no wavering in it. He came for me. You know, I started to hear these words from Hosea. I will draw her up and out of Egypt, and I will speak to her tenderly. And she who once called me master will now call me husband. And I will betroth her to me in righteousness, in steadfast love, in mercy, and in justice. Like, Hosea started to heal my broken heart. That the creator of the universe, I was unchurched, guys. The creator of the universe wooed me into his love. all by himself. It was beautiful. And so I went home February of 2005. I went home to my mom and dad thinking, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And to be honest, my parents had a pretty bad separation when I was very young. My father left for 3 years with another woman. It was very, very traumatic, very painful experience for me. And so for most of my life, I was very angry. Now, on the outside, everything looked perfect. Everything was successful according to Northern Virginia. She is the prom court, you know, on the prom court. She's got three sports she excels in and friends and, you know, okay. Like everything looked successful according to Northern Virginia, but inside I was broken. You hear me? I was so destroyed over my father's infidelity. And so it took me 20 years to tell him, I hate you for what you've done to my mother and my sister. I forgive you. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. That was the same year I had the fire. I came home, Christmas Eve. My father looks like he has cancer. He's completely white. And he just says to us, like, I hope you can forgive me one day. But a year ago, I had an affair, and I have a one-year-old son in Herndon. Married to my mother, my perfect mother, by the way. Nobody's perfect, but we know. Like, she didn't have a bad bone in her body. She served him so beautifully, us, for 30 years. She didn't deserve that. And what happened? I was so broken all over again. I started drinking again, and I started throwing up again, and I lost 40 pounds in 4 months, and I had psoriasis patches covered from head to toe in places that I shouldn't have, in every crevice. Because, ladies, unforgiveness will manifest itself physically. Believe that. Some of the diseases we have, some of the high blood pressure, it's because we allow this bitterness root. The scripture says this bitterness to grow. And so I drove myself to this church. It was Christian Fellowship Church. You guys know it. I was 25 at the time, fell in the front doors, literally high and drunk from the night before. I'm certain of it. And I just bawling on my face, telling these beautiful inner healing ministers what my father had done, what this man had done in my life, crying. She scoops me up in the welcome, you know, the welcoming place, right? Now, what do most churches do? We'll take your name and number. We'll reach out to you. No. This woman scooped me up and she said, today, you're going to learn that you have a broken earthly father, but you have a heavenly father who will never disappoint, never lie, always there for you. And I thought, I don't know a father that doesn't leave, but I want to know a father that doesn't leave. And that began my journey with Jesus, really, on a deeper level. And she took my hand and she walked me down the hallway into a 20s class that was already taking place, sat me down in there so I'd be discipled. And guys, I was a porcupine. You couldn't hug me. I didn't trust anybody. And I had an attitude. And I had unforgiveness, right? And they just loved me. They just loved me like they were my first picture of Christ, where they just did the work of love and mercy and empathy and tried to teach me about forgiveness. And I'm like, do you know what he did? I'm not forgiving. Do you know what he did? No. I remember yelling at the Lord one day about his infidelity, and he said, every time you chose the world over me, you were an adulterer, son. You have committed adultery too. And even in that time, there was a man at my job who was divorced or separated, who was pursuing me. And when I found out 8 months later, his separation was wife sleeps downstairs, he sleeps upstairs. Come on, right? But the Lord said, and your heart wants a man who's not available. You see, you are very capable. The things that you hate in others, that woman who went off with your dad, the very thing you hate in others, you are capable of. What does Jesus say? You're a murderer if you look at your brother with hate. You didn't actually commit murder. Guys, the scripture says you are a murderer if you look at your brother with hate. That's some serious language, right? And we need the Lord to help us on earth. God, show me what's inside. Show me why I can't bend the knee. Why can't I let go? I came to this church, and I'll be honest with you, at this point, I pretty much made an idol out of the cross, because I was at the cross on my face, I mean, all the time, every day, just begging the Lord to help me with this hate in my heart. And people were telling me, I would say immature Christians, or maybe not even Christians, okay, were telling me that my father had committed the unpardonable sin and there was no forgiveness for him, that he was going to hell, and that my brother was a bastard and his life would be wrecked. This is not the gospel. But I didn't know it at the time. And so I'm on my face at the cross, like begging God, like if my father has to go to hell, send me instead. Begging him. And 3 months later, I come to the church. The snow is up. It's probably the one time that they closed. Right? I need to get in there, God. And it's like a Norman Rockwell picture. Like, it's unbelievable how beautiful. Birds are chirping, white snow. And I hear the Lord say, you don't have to go in there today. Because today is the day that you're going to forgive your dad. You're going to forgive her. You're going to have a new baby brother. You're going to have a new life. A new life in me. And my car just kind of found its way over there. And I cannot tell you the beauty from ashes that has happened. My brother is 17 today and wants to be a youth pastor. He takes his Bible everywhere. This is the kid that was born from adultery. He takes his Bible everywhere. He has no friends because he's trying to live pure and they don't understand it. It's unbelievable. Glory to God, what he's done in his life. Glory to God. The woman my father left with was my age. So people at church were picking on me, like, so do you call her stepmom? Or no, I don't call her stepmom. She's my age. Doesn't make sense. I call her Stephanie. You're supposed to be a woman of faith and you poke at my family's pain like that? It's not right, right? But the Lord had to walk me through that. And so she and I went through lots of prayer. And at one point, 8 years later, my mother and her are wrapping presents for my baby brother, having tea together. Come on, Jesus. Only the work of God can do that. Right? I had every reason in the world to hate. But Jesus heals hearts. He heals us. This heavenly thought, you know, I started to understand where the enemy gets rights with us, guys, and with my father, for example. It's just a simple agreement. That's it. The power of words is very powerful. There are two kingdoms. There are two voices. There are two trees. You'll see that in your breakdown, right? I want you to think about this. We're going to take a look at Genesis, all right? Now that I've shared part of my portion, I want to go to the scriptures. So we go to Genesis 2 and 3, and here we find what life was like in God's garden. He made every tree grow that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. And he put man in the center of it to tend and keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He also said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he brought a helper comparable to him. The Bible says Eve. So here we are before the fall of man, where Adam and Eve are in the garden, walking in the cool of day with their father, which that's my favorite, by the way, guys. I just want you to imagine this. Walking in the cool of day with your perfect father. What peace. They lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. They had everything, right? And so they're walking in the cool of the day with their father. They have total peace, the comfort of each other, and lacking nothing. And they have direct access to God. And they're in good standing with God until they hear the slithering voice enter. From below, the cunning serpent says, he says to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We're really good at adding to God's words. He didn't say don't touch it, right? Another thing I'm noticing in this story is we're really good at listening and buying the story of the enemy. He feeds it to us. All he can do is influence you, but it's your choice to receive it or not, right? And so leaving us essentially out of agreement with our Father. So my point is we're really good at falling at his schemes from one of three ways. Scripture tells us in 1 John 2:15, by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. She ultimately sees, in verse 6, we see she sees the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate it. Now, on a side note, I don't think her mistake essentially was eating the apple. And I'll just confess right now, I probably would have ate the whole tree, finger looking good. Okay. Her first mistake was not asking her father. Who is this voice that challenges the very almighty high God? Who's my dad? Right, guys? If we're confused, we can just ask our father. I have learned to pause when I have confusion, when I don't have peace, when I just can't figure it out. Okay, you know what? I'm going to give myself permission not to make a decision, because most of the time that's out of the flesh. It's not out of the spirit, right? It's not by lead of what God wants for us. And so we take the bait so easily. What does God say to you about your story? It's time that we ask him that. Lord, what do you say about my story? What do you say about me? What do you say about my dad? What do you say about the woman he married? What do you say about my baby brother? Show me. Healing begins to take place. Things start to lift and leave because I come out of agreement with the enemy and into agreement with the will of God, with the word of God, with my perfect father. Amen? We struggle. If we're struggling with something, go into the scripture and find the opposite of it. I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with my daughter last night. Fear comes over. I'm going to say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, power, control, and love, right? I'm going to speak my father's words, and I'm going to ask my father, what do you have to say about me and my story? And teach my children. John 10:10, for the thief comes to steal and kill, but I have come that you may have life and life to the fullest. What does that look like, church? It doesn't look like a bunch of Christians that have the Holy Spirit that still have depression, struggle from cancer, have a spirit of infirmity, okay? No, it doesn't look like that. The fullness of God, the abundant life, is for the captives to be free. Isaiah 61. So in place for a spirit of despair, I'm going to give you an oil of gladness. I'm going to make beauty from ashes in your story, which is my story. He gets exalted in this, guys. Shame is the number one emotion we see coming in the garden. Why did he pick shame? Think about it. Why did he pick shame? Because shame will keep you from being a daughter of the king. Shame will keep you from the plans that the Lord has for you. You won't step into this if he's saying, get up here and share your story. You won't do it because you're so drenched in shame. Renounce shame today in Jesus' name. I renounce it. If you can't forgive yourself, then you're saying the work of the cross is not enough. I know that hits somebody. It's okay. When Jesus says, I forgive you for your choices, we then have to receive it. It means nothing if he says it and I go, yeah, and then I go home and I self-hate and I harm myself because I'm still in shame, right? I went to the doctors at 25. She said, you better freeze your eggs right now because you're not going to have any babies. You're not going to have any babies, so you better freeze your eggs. I was a young Christian. I went home completely confused, For 4 weeks, I was in here looking for frozen eggs. Couldn't find it. It's like, oh my gosh. Went to my mom and dad, was like, oh my gosh, I think I have to freeze my eggs, but it's like $5,000 an egg. What do I do? My dad wanted to make sure he had a Samoan child. So he's like, this is good. I'm behind you. My mom's like, whatever you want, baby. And I'm like, eh, I don't have peace. I don't think they know Christ. I think I need to, I don't know. I'm going to go back to my chair, still in the book, like freaking out. Okay. The Lord said, go talk to this woman at church. Well, this woman had lost like 4 children, and I had had not one, but 2 abortions with the man that set my house on fire. Okay, so I was in shame. Like, no, I don't even talk about this to myself. Somebody said, you have a great story of forgiveness. You should come tell the women. I said, yes, I do. I do have a great story of forgiveness. I forgave my dad. That's great. And I sat down to start writing it, and God said, okay, I forgave you. You forgive others. Now you forgive you. Right out in those 3 sections. And when we got to the 3rd section, I had a head crack. Like, I forgive me? For what? That's how buried it was. It's hiding. Shame hides. You don't even know you're in it, right? And it started to come up. He started to unearth it. He's like, go talk to this woman at church. I'm like, no, she's had, you want me to talk to a woman who lost children, not by choice, and tell her that I took life? I killed by choice? No, I'm not doing that, Lord. I'm not doing it. I went to church. Here's a Betty, everywhere a Betty, Betty. Like, I could not get away from this woman. So I finally went to her and I was like, okay, this is what happened. The doctor said this to me, and this is where I'm at, and this is what I did. And she was so beautiful. I mean, this is the other thing, guys. You wouldn't believe how compassionate, empathetic, grace-giving people are. You have to just step out in faith that I'm going to say the hard thing, because what stays in the dark keeps control over you. You need to bring it to the light so Jesus can speak truth to it and can tell you, daughter, I love you, right? And so she tells me, I'm going to pray this curse off of you that this doctor spoke. And Priscilla, what happened to Abraham and Sarah? I was like, I don't know. Oh, wait, she had a plan B. Yeah, oh, yeah, I don't want a plan B. Never mind, I'm not freezing my eggs. That's a plan B. I'm not doing that. So in this moment, I make a vow to God, okay, I will wait for the one you have for me. I will not waver. I will wait for the one you have for me. And if you have children for me, praise God. If you don't, all right. But I am not like the rest of my 20s friends who are racing their biological clock and they have to have a house by such and such day and they have to be married by such and such day. No, I'm not. I am waiting for you, Lord. I am waiting upon you. And you guys see today, I have beautiful children. Amen. In fact, I was such a little smarty pants. People constantly say, I prayed 13 years for my husband. And people try to send me to the singles group. And I was like, no, no way. I'm not going there. No. And I used to say, he's not lost. He's saving babies in China. Not knowing that he's Chinese. The Lord has a sense of humor. It was beautiful. Beautiful. But listen here, guys. I could go on and on about how God's goodness has rescued me day in and day out. We've looked at some of the items on your list about the war of words, that kingdoms are being built. Things are being, you're being influenced, and you need to take it to the Lord, right? People ask me all the time, how do you know that that's what you heard, Zilla? How do you know? Well, I'm a visual learner. I believe the Lord sent me dreams because of that. He knows that's where I learn best. And so when I prayed with this woman over the abortions that I had, I was on my face crying with God about it, just lamenting. I had a contrite heart. I was broken before God, just like David, right? I was repenting. That's the other thing. We have to agree with him. I was wrong. You cannot justify your sin, right? So I laid myself naked before the Lord, and he showed me a picture of him with these 2 little girls running around his feet in a sea of flowers. And he said, I forgive you, and they forgive you, and they're waiting to meet you one day. And I was healed of this shame. And then he said, now go tell 250 women at church that you had 2 abortions. I was like thrown up in the back room. I can't do this. I can't do this. My friends were like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And so I did it, and 80% of the room came up to me. Priscilla, that's my story. God bless you. I didn't even tell my husband. Thank you. Thank you. Like, guys, the Samaritan woman, when he says, go get your 5 husbands, right? He's not shaming her. He is creating a path for her to come to confession. What does scripture say? I will draw them to confession by my kindness. Come here, daughter, so I can touch the very thing that hurts inside. Amen. And I can heal it. I can heal it. I can take it from you, and we can use it for his glory and for him to be exalted in the earth. And after that, I got to help my friends not make that choice to trust God. Because if I knew what I knew now, then I would have believed he would have made a way for us. Amen. Know the family that you are grafted in. Be ye holy. He is holy. And if you can't, you just ask. He is faithful to tell you how. What does it take for me to take a step towards forgiveness? Don't tell me that you can't do it. I met a man recently this week. I was praying with a homeless man who was very ill, who said his father was a pedophile, hurt his sister, and killed her. Okay? And that is why he cannot forgive him. He has every right to not forgive, right? But I told him the enemy still has a right to you. Do this for yourself. Do this for your children, if not for yourself. Deuteronomy says whatever blessings are passed on, curses are passed on to this generations, right? So whatever I don't get healed of, my children get. That is scripture. And so I'm telling this man, you can. And he goes, well, that's what the deliverance ministers told me before, that they have to stop here. We can't go any further because you won't forgive. And they left him. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're not going to leave him. We were at a hotel. I said, hey, come on in. Are you having breakfast with anyone? And he's like, no. I was like, come sit with us. So me and my sister, we broke bread. He was a vet. My sister was married to a very ill vet, so she was able to testify. Little by little, we saw his heart. Lord was chipping away, right? As we were testifying. Why is testimony so important, guys? Because the work of the blood of the Lamb and her testimony is what defeats the enemy. So we're just sharing with him what God's doing in our life. And in a moment, I realize he needs a brother. So I start praying. Oh, God, bring a brother who knows you. Bring in. Literally 2 minutes later, in comes a guy. He thinks we were at the same conference. Are you guys prayer ministers? We said, no. No, we just bought the t-shirt. But I'm like crying. I'm like, I'm praying for a man of God. Are you a man of God? And he's like, yes, I am. I'm like, come over here. He takes his Bible. He starts praying over the guy. It broke. The guy says, I'm ready to forgive. He breaks down crying before Jesus. I'm ready to forgive. Yes, you are. Yes, you are ready. It took an hour. But that's the work of the living God. It wasn't me. But if I'm listening to him and he tells me, right? He told me to pray for a brother. He will tell me the keys to unlock the heart of our children. If we really believe in prayer, we're interceding, right? And Holy Spirit speaks. My sheep will know my voice, right? Let's look at some of these. Psalm 139, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. For behold, he forms mountains and creates the wind who declares to man what his thought is. He's willing to tell us his thoughts, guys. We just have to understand how to discern through them. So what do I do? It cannot, whatever you hear cannot depart from this. Not even a little bit. You cannot compromise. It must align with who he is in his nature from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Okay, so I call that the scripture test. Can you find it in scripture? If you hear something, go find the story or go find the verse that supports what you heard. Amen? And then the second piece is the fruit test. Galatians, does it show you the traits of Jesus? Is it gentleness? Is it joy? Is it kindness? Is it self-control? If he tells you to move to Africa and leave your husband to go on mission, no, I'm sorry, the Lord did not tell you to leave your husband. Maybe he told you to go to Africa with your husband. Or maybe it's later, right? But you did not hear him tell you depart from your one flesh to go to ministry. Amen. So the fruit test, is it condemning? Is it shaming? What does this voice sound like? You'll start to see, guys, the Lord says, renew your minds. Renew your minds, taking each thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. This is what I've done for 15 years. I've literally taken every thought that comes in here to the Lord. Is this you? Where is in the scripture? Okay, if it's not, I renounce it. I'll come out of agreement with that. I don't want to think that way anymore. I want the mind of Christ. I want to think like you, Lord. What do you say? Okay, now I say this. And healing comes. And the enemy has no right. Oh, she just repented again. You know what? Every time I come to her, people are like, oh no, you're struggling with fear. So what? That's okay. If a dangerous thought comes, you know what? You don't feel very good today. You should just drive off the road and go into a ditch. I think you should do that. I say, you know what? Thank you that I love life. Thank you that I'm going to live prosperous and long. Thank you that you have given me such love for my life. And I turn on the praise music and I worship and that thought leaves. Amen. I tell my high schoolers, this is what it's like a highway. Your brain is like a highway. The cars are external thoughts. They're not always your thoughts, guys. Please know that. Once you realize it's something else influencing, it's not you. You know the strategy. You can't cast out your flesh, but you can cast out something that's not of God by the power of God. The same power that rose Jesus off the cross is in you. And each one of us has a responsibility. You have the authority from heaven to pray over your children and over your husband and in your house. It should be a place of peace. Anything that is not of you, leave in Jesus' name. For my house will serve the Lord. Amen. Be asking regularly. Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Am I bitter towards someone? Lord, I give that person to you now. In fact, we're going to make space for that before we go into table time. Let's just pause, make a moment. I need to give the Lord time to speak. And if you hear something smarter than you, it's probably not you. How about Gideon? You are a man of valor. Do you guys wake up in the morning telling yourself that? I am a man. I'm like, no. In fact, he's like, I'm of the weakest tribe. Like, no, Lord. No. Okay, it's probably not you. We're so used to hearing how awful we are when God says beautiful. You can almost not take it, right? Receive the beauty of the 7,000 plus promises in here that he says about you, not what the world says about you. And lastly, the submission test. Go to the men and women of God who have been with him 10, 20, 30 decades. The Lord's like, I didn't give you these great, great women just to not go to them. They fought battles long before you. And keep in mind that these battles are not always your battles. They start before you. We inherit the sins of the fathers. So you can repent for your forefathers. Right? The spirit of divorce has no place in my lineage anymore. It will not happen with my brother. It will not happen with my son. In the name of Jesus, they will know how to be godly men, right? We need to be speaking life. Speak life. So Father God, we just thank you that you speak to us so personally, so intimately, and you're willing to teach us how to discern your voice above all else. And so Lord, I ask that you would show each woman right now if it's a person they need to forgive or if it's they need to forgive themselves. Holy Spirit, you love them more. God, you love them more than anybody. Who is it? Come. And so when it comes up, if you're ready to take a step towards forgiveness today, your life will be forever changed, I promise. I just want you to repeat after me, say, I confess, Lord. You can say it in your heart. He hears you. I confess, Lord, that I have held unforgiveness towards this person. Tell them why. Tell him why. Exactly what they've done to you. Lord, I repent for harboring this unforgiveness. I don't want to hold this person. This person is not my debt. I don't want to harbor unforgiveness towards myself anymore. I release that. The finished work of the cross is enough. You are enough. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me of all the ill effects this has had on me, my spirit, my soul, my body, all the ill effects it's had on my spouse, my children, my ministry. Cleanse me, Lord. And God, I thank you for each contrite and repentant heart today. I'm so grateful, God. They are women of courage. They have kingdom courage to take this step. So thank you, Lord, for doing it in them. You say when we repent that you will restore. Lord, what are you bringing? What is the truth you're restoring? Speak to them now. Oh God, we love you. We thank you so much for who you have been always to us. You blessed us before we even came to know you. God, I thank you that you're taking these women from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge in a deeper way with you today. May you be glorified in all of it. May you be exalted in all of it. And whatever you spoke, I pray that you would seal it in their hearts now to eternity, that they would know that they would know that they heard from their Father this day. In Jesus' name I pray.